Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. You know, and I found out something about God, and something the Lord's been kind of talking to me about this morning that I believe to share with me. What I'm going to do, with Dr. Chip's permission here, is I'm just going to preach to myself. And because you were so gracious to come, I'm going to let you listen if you want to. But there's no pressure on anybody. I need the Bible as much or more than anybody here. But, you know, I know that many people kind of float along, I call it, in life. I think not far from here, there's the Tennessee River. Is that correct? I think we passed it a couple of times. We flew, you know, into Knoxville, Tennessee, and then drove down here. So I think we crossed that river. Did we cross it twice? Does anybody know, coming down 75? We crossed it, and then we come across 30. I think we crossed it twice, but we didn't jump in it, but we could have probably floated down. Doesn't it come close by here? Got to float it down, and there's some kind of little water way out this way. What is that? So I could have just took a boat down here. My goodness, I don't know what I'm doing, flying airplanes and the carrying on and, you know, riding cars and all that kind of stuff. But see, you could get on that river out there and something that would float. You could probably sit on a log if it'd float. And the water will just take you along the stream wherever it's going. You can get in a boat without a paddle or a motor, no way to do anything with it, you know. And that boat will go somewhere because there is current in that river. I assume here it flows south. I have been places it flows north, not the Tennessee River, but there are rivers that have, you know, miraculously do things backwards. But you can just get on that river and just get in a boat with no paddle, no form of a motor, anything, to make it go anywhere, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to go somewhere. But it may not be where you want to go. In fact, I don't know about the Tennessee River, but I'm sure down there somewhere, I just don't know, I've never been on it, but I'm sure that there are some rapids somewhere. Is there? Way down there somewhere. Somewhere it starts getting rocky somewhere, where it starts going to where or wherever it starts at. There starts being some rapids. Anybody ever been rafting before? Well, I have been rafting before. And I have had my kayak. I was on a kayak. You know, this one-man kayak. You got this oar, you know, you paddle on this side and that side. And we was going to shoot the rapids. And it's a level 3 rapid, level 5 being the highest. And I was watching those go through. And they was in these big rafts, you know, that would hold 15, 20 people, you know. And you got this guide in the raft, and they're trying to tell them to go to this side, avoid this rock, avoid. And I would see rafts, whole rafts, you know, go in this place and bounce and come out on the other side and everybody getting wet. And so I decided, I grew up on the Chattahoochee River down in Georgia, you know, even though now we live in Oklahoma, but I grew up on the Chattahoochee River. And I had been on the water all my life. In fact, the way we learned to swim is Daddy just grabbed us up by the nap of the neck and seized the britches and threw us out of a big old Navy boat he had that was 22 feet long and said, swim back to the boat. And you learned how to get back to the boat. And if you got thirsty, you know, and you didn't have a cup, so that's before all these days of having all these cups, you just poured the worms out in the boat there and just washed a cup out a little bit and got you some river water and drank it. Back then you could, now I can't. But anyway, you could do it. You would mean it, it'd be all right. And everything would be fine. Everything would be glorious. But I was going to shoot this rapid, you know, a level 3 rapid in this kayak. And so I was going down to Natahala. I don't know if you know where that is, over there in the Carolinas. I think it's where it was at. The Natahalas, and we had a bunch of preachers out there. And me and another preacher had this kayak that we had rented. You know, and they're in these big rafts, and they're bouncing, they're getting wet. And I thought, well, I'm just going to shoot this rapid. I know exactly how to do it. I grew up on this river. This river, I ain't scared of no river because I'd never been in water that swift either. And thank God they make you watch a video before you get on that river. And they tell you, you know, if you get thrown out of your craft, you know, whether it be a kayak or a raft or anything, the first thing you do is you pick your feet up and don't try to fight the current of that water because it will break your legs. I'd never been in water. I mean, the Chattahoochee River, you know, got swift around the dams, the power dams, but it didn't get nothing like the Natahala, and it was at kind of flood stage. And so I was going to shoot this rapid and just show them how to do it. And this is the last rapid on the rafting trip, you know, to put you in. This is the last place, and they got cameras there. and they take your picture when you come over this thing because they want you to have a memento of what you just accomplished. And so I took this raft, this little kayak thing, and I mean, it's just a one-man deal, you know, with a point at one end and a point at the other end, and I'm zipping down through there. I'm going around in the circles around these rafts just to showing off and cutting up, you know, and people squealing, and we're throwing water on everybody, and they're throwing it back on us. And when I got down there, I was going to show them how to shoot that rapid, this level 3 rapid, and I shot it all right. When I shot it, I was going so fast because I had paddled to get up momentum to go to a certain spot where that water was just rolling and rocks is underneath. When that thing went over, it went too far, too fast, the point did. And so it turned and went straight down. And that's not the way to be going when you're going over a rapid. You want that front end up. And so that thing started headed down. And when it did, the water caught it. And there was an undertow. And it flipped that thing over. And I went sailing through the air. I could get the old gospel hymn, "I'll Fly Away, O Glory." And I became a flying human coming out of that thing. And I remembered. I had a sense of mind to remember that they said to me to hang on to your paddle. Don't lose your paddle because it costs so much money if you lost it. Hang on to it. So I had this paddle. Whee! And I'm going through the air. And then the next thing you know, karoosh. And I went down and that undertow caught me and threw me back. I mean, not going down the river. I mean, it threw me back up against some rocks. And so I decided I'm going to fight this thing. And I stood up. And when I did, the pressure was so great, it almost broke my leg until I remembered the video. Pick your legs up. Don't fight the river. The river is stronger than you are. And all of a sudden, I got in this undertow, and the camera was snapping these shots, you know, pop, 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 and you could see pictures, and you saw me flying through the air, and me disappear under the water, then frame after frame after frame, and there's nothing but water, 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 and there's nothing. All of a sudden, a paddle comes out up over my head, and somehow I shot out from under that undertow, and I've got this life vest on, and I'm floating down the river, and everybody's clapping. Hey, Brother Andy! Hey! Said, what did I tell that story for? The river took me where I did not want to go. If I had planned it properly, hindsight, they say, looking back, you know, you can clearly see some mistakes you made. I saw some mistakes I made. I saw that there was an undertow. I didn't think about it because I'm coming down the river and it's in front of me, so I can't see what's right over there. But if I'd have just moved just a little bit, 3 foot to the right, I'd have been in much calmer water and there would have been no undertow. It's amazing how the river changes just in 3 feet at the Nantahala. But it is amazing how it changes. If I'd have been 3 feet to the right, I'd have had no problem and I'd have went right on if I'd have made the right decisions and choices. So what did I say that's for? You can, as a human being, even as a Christian, you can get on the river of life and allow it to take you wherever it wants to. There's a lot of undertows, there's a lot of undercurrents, and there's a lot of things out there that you want to be in. There's a lot of waterfalls you may not want to go over. Or you can take your life and determine your destiny by what you believe based on God's Word. Turn to Mark chapter 11. And let's show you some principles that I have learned. And that doesn't mean that I know it all. Of course, I know you've come this morning looking for the man that knows it all. I will not disappoint you. I've got Dr. Chip right here. And I'll turn it over to him. And he knows the Holy Ghost. And he will help us. But in Mark chapter 11, there were some things that I found out about in my life. And by the way, I did tell about me being in prison. And I do have a full pardon today. That means all of my civil and political rights have been restored back to me as a citizen of the United States. And I have the right to own and possess a firearm, which in my crimes have been washed away in the ink of the government, just like my sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one day, my life was not going in the direction that I wanted to go. I was floating along as a Christian. As a Christian, just floating along, waiting for life to happen. And life did happen, but it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. In fact, I was there as a born-again Christian in prison. I turned myself in after that third escape experience in Galveston, Texas, back in 1982. And so now it's 1984. And this is May of 1984. I'd been elected as the pastor of this little, what we call the convict church. Now they call them residents and inmates, but back then they just called us convicts. I mean, you knew what you was, and that's what you was, you know. But they called us convicts. So I was a pastor of the convict church, and the Lord was moving. I mean, people were getting saved. People were getting healed. We was casting out demons, just like the Bible says. The gifts of the Spirit would operate. The power of God was there. And so I'm just floating along in my Christian walk, just thinking that if they ever did give me an opportunity for parole, then that automatically I would receive my parole, and then I wouldn't have any problem. In other words, I wouldn't have to do anything to get my parole just because I was a good fella. Don't you think I'm a good fella? I mean, don't you think I'm a real nice fella? And probably the Lord does too. He thinks I'm a real good guy. A pleasant young man, especially during those days, because I was seeking Him, you know, with all my heart. And I say that not in pride, but I was seeking the Lord. I was studying His Word. I put it first in my life. I made sure that I had a relationship with Him. And so I'm just floating along. And I thought just because I was a good person and doing good things, then I would have good things happen to me. But I found out how wrong I was. On May the 31st, 1984, I received a letter from the Alabama, because it was down in Alabama that I was in prison for the longest amount of time. But I was in the state of Alabama, and I received a letter from the Alabama State Pardon and Parole Board. And this letter said, "You'll be released from prison on parole in the month of none." Oh, I got so excited because they promised to release me in the month of none. Hallelujah. I had a release date, and I was excited until I went and I found a calendar. Have you ever looked at the calendar? The calendar has the month of January all the way down through the month of December, but I hadn't found that month of none yet. If you find it before I do, please let me know. Well, it became a sobering reality that just because I thought I was a good fella, and maybe God thought I was a good fella, that this stuff didn't work just because I wanted it to happen. There's something else that I've got to do in order to get out of prison on parole, because I wanted to get out of prison. I didn't want to stay in prison the rest of my life. Now, I know this, that God, you know, showed me that He didn't believe in people breaking the laws of the land, and He didn't advocate that, and there is punishment for breaking the law and the crimes that you commit. But I would have already been out of prison if I hadn't have done those escapes. I called it taking vacations, but they don't think that way. And so if you want to, you know, go on a career path where you get vacations and things like that, don't go to be in prison or jail, because they don't give vacations. In fact, they get flat mad about it if you take a vacation. They just get mad about it. I mean mad. The judge would get mad, flop his old jaws at you, and tell you, "I'm going to give you 5 more years." You know what I mean? In prison, because you escaped. And so, here I am, and I got this letter that said, "You'll get released from prison on parole in a month of none." And I thought, well, I got a problem. Just because I'm a good fella doesn't mean that I'm getting out of prison on parole, undoubtedly, or I wouldn't have got this letter backed up by the governor of the state of Alabama that heads up the parole board, because he appoints them, you know. They're appointed positions back in that time, and I think they're trying to do away with all that now. But anyway, there's no way that you're going to get out. So I took this letter out on the prison recreation yard, and I showed it to the Lord like He couldn't read it, or hadn't read it, didn't know what it said. And of course, the letter said, "You'll be released from prison on parole in a month of none." And it listed about 8 different reasons why. One of them was failure to respond to rehabilitation. You know, if you escape 3 times, they figure you're not cooperating with the program. You know what I mean? And you're not staying in class like you should. And so there was during that time, then they had several other reasons. This because you've done this and done that. But it's about 8 different reasons, and all of them were legitimate reasons, and it fit everything I'd done wrong. But I said to the Lord, "Lord, look at this letter. Look what it says. It says, I'm getting out in a month or none. Lord, I'm serving you. Lord, I'm pastoring the convict church. Lord, we're running over 100 people. I'm not talking about people that had jailhouse religion. I'm talking about true born-again men that was on fire for God. I mean, that were serving God. And I said, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing your will. I said, Lord, why in the world did I get this letter? I said, why didn't you just open the door and let me out? He said, because you're not obeying my word. I said, I am obeying your word. He said, no, you're not obeying my word. I said, yes, I am obeying your word. Yes, I'm obeying your word. He said, you're obeying your word, my word, as far as you know. He said, but there's something else you got to learn. He said, I'm just letting you, because you've been just growing in the Lord. He said, I'm just letting you move along and cause things to happen for you because you was in a more immature period of Christianity. He said, but it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to learn to believe me. It's time for you to learn to stand on your own two feet. That's what Granny would tell us in the country. Or Pawpaw out in the back side of the field. You know what I mean? Time for you to stand up and get your rope and get your hoe and go down to the other end. Yes, I know about those days. Yes, I've had corn sack around my neck. Long corn sack. Who ever drug a corn sack? Anybody ever drug a corn sack before? Woo! Have that thing hang around your neck and swing out down there, and you go down there and pull that corn off that off that stalk, put it in that thing and go on down through there. I have to take a hoe. Whew. Anybody ever hoed carrots before? Oh, that's something to do. You better not hit them carrots either. They're going to come along there and knock you down on the ground. You mess up their carrots in that prison. So I said to the Lord, Lord, what do I need to obey? He said, if you'll obey my word, he said, you'll walk out those prison gates. It's time for you to stand on your own two feet. He said, my word says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please me. For those that come to me must believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I said, well, Lord, okay. Well, show me what to do. He said, if you'll obey Mark 11:23 and John 15:7, he said, it'll work for you. He said, and you will walk out these prison gates. So let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse number 23, and let me share with you what the Lord taught me that day. Whatever it is that you need from the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it be, whatever direction you want to go in life, this verse will work for you. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He said here, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice here, he said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So there is a truth here that we must understand. There's more to it than just thinking about something. There's more to it than just praying about something. The Bible says that we need to believe it in our heart and say it with our mouth. Does anybody know what the word say means? S-A-Y? The word say means speak words from your mouth. So Jesus said here in this verse, he said, whatever you believe in your heart and speak words from your mouth about, it will come to pass in your life. And it does. In fact, is there anybody here that knows of a name of a man named Steve Jobs? Anybody ever heard that name? Who was that man? That man was the head of Apple. I think I saw a Mac computer back there. That man was the head of Apple. That man just died within 2 years, I guess, of recently. And he was the head of all your iPhones, your iPads, and Mac computers, all that stuff. Apple products. It came from this gentleman. I heard his business. I didn't hear him personally. But Christopher in my office got some information for me about this because he knows I'm always studying about this and thinking about it. And they was his partner that had been founded Apple with Steve Jobs years ago was being interviewed after Steve Jobs' death. And one of the questions they asked him was, does it shock you that Steve Jobs, who's the president and head of Apple, died so young? And of course, I'm ready to hear his statement, you know. And the man said, no, really, it doesn't surprise me that Steve Jobs died as young as he did. And so the interviewer said to him, well, why? He was shocked. Why doesn't it shock you that Steve Jobs died so young? He said, well, as long as I can remember, from the time we founded Apple, he said, even before then, he said, Steve Jobs would say to me periodically, he said, in fact, quite often, he said, I know that I'm going to die young. I'll never live to be an older man. And he said, whatever I'm going to invent and make happen, he said, I've got to do it now. They say that Steve Jobs was so driven that he didn't even want employees to take breaks because he knew that his time was short and that he didn't want to give vacations. In fact, remember, they throwed him out of Apple, if you remember. Got rid of him because he was so driven and motivated. They got rid of him, and he went over and took over Pixar and took it to the top. And so they said, come on back over here. And brought him back into Apple. And so this business partner said that Steve Jobs always told him that he would die young and that whatever he was going to make and invent, he had to do it right away. Well, Steve Jobs could just as easily have said, I'm going to live a long life. Because the Bible promises you that with long life will he satisfy you. If you don't believe it, it's in Psalms 91. He said, with long life will he satisfy you and show you your salvation. God wants you to live a long life. But Steve Jobs said that he would live a short life. And so somebody said, well, what killed Steve Jobs? Well, some said it was pancreatic cancer or some type of cancer. But I'm here to tell you, pancreatic cancer and cancer alone did not kill Steve Jobs. I would tell you, based on Mark 11:23, that his tongue killed him, because Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So Steve Jobs said he was going to die, and he 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 did. The cancer was just the vehicle that took him out. But I am firmly assured, if he'd have stood on God's word and said, with long life will God satisfy me and show me my salvation, I'm assured of this, that God would have took care of him and it would have closed the door to the devil and that stuff would not have come on him and it would not have ended his life and he would have still been here today. Now, if I had a mind to, I just don't have a mind to, but if I would, I would make Dr. Chip get up this morning, not make him, but encourage him, to get up and do something called the moonwalk for us. Because does anybody know who it was that made the moonwalk famous? Michael Jackson, this precious young lady back here, is at least 25 years old, knows about Michael Jackson, she's saying. My God, Michael Jackson, he could do it, you know, and the robot and whatever else and all this kind of stuff. But I heard this myself. He was married at one time to a young lady named Lisa Marie Presley. Who is Lisa Marie Presley? It's Elvis's daughter. He was married to her. She was being interviewed after Michael Jackson's moonwalk robotin passing away. And they asked her, I heard it with my own ears because I seen the commentator. And I was kind of flipping through the news channels, you know, and I seen her there and it was talking about after Michael Jackson's death, they was interviewing all kinds of people. And so when I saw her, and I knew who she was. I recognized her from past, you know, pictures and things. I turned up the volume where I could hear her, you know. And one of the questions they asked her towards the end of the interview, does it shock you that Michael Jackson, who you was once your husband, passed away as young as he did? And of course, now I got the volume way up. I turned it up. Why? Because I want to hear what she's got to say. She said this to the shock and surprise of the person that was asking her the question, said, no, it really doesn't shock me that Michael Jackson died as young as he did. And of course, the interviewer said, well, why? Why? She said, you know, I was his wife. I was married to him. She said, he said to me often, he said, I'll never live to be an old age. He said, I'll die just like your daddy did. Talking about young and everything. Well, somebody said, well, the Dr. So-and-so killed him. Dr. So-and-so was arrested, you know, and everything. I'll present this to you based on Mark 11:23. The doctor didn't kill Michael Jackson. His words did. Michael Jackson would have never been in the position for the too many drugs to get into his system if he had not confessed that he was going to die young and that he would not live a long life. He told his Lisa Marie Presley that he would not live a long life and that he would die young. And he said, I'll die like your daddy did. And he did. He did. Now, are you glad it happened? No, I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up that we are in charge of our life. You're not just floating along waiting for something to happen, or you can. But what you determine that you want to see come to pass in your life, it shall come to pass. So Jesus said, what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass in your life. So what do you want to see come to pass in your life? And what do you want to see in your future? What do you want to see change presently about your life? What do you want to have different than what you have right now? Do you want to change it, or do you want to stay the same? Well, I'll tell you exactly what you want in your life. I already know what you want. You want God's perfect will. What is God's perfect will? It's His Word. So what you want to do is you want to go to the Bible and you want to find scriptures that promises you success. We could use that word, success in life. That promises you that God will supply your needs according to His riches and glory. That promises you that Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses and diseases. And take those promises and say that God, any problem that you come across or come up against, God will work it out for you. Any question that needs an answer, He will give you the answer and stand upon it. So I was standing in the prison yard, remember, with this letter showing it to the Lord like He needed to read it. And He said, son, He said, Mark 11:23 will work for you. He said, you're just waiting for me to do something. He said, you must believe me. Use your faith. So the first thing that you need to do is discover, number one, what do you want to see different in your life? What do you want to have in your life today that you do not have? Then number two, go to the Bible, find scriptures that promises that to you. How many scriptures you got to have? At least a couple. Just find a couple of them. That'll do you good. That promises you. This one believed and acted upon would change your life. But find a couple. But you can find the scriptures all about anything you need. And then you've got to take those scriptures. The next thing you've got to do is those scriptures have got to become real to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, that faith comes from hearing God's Word. So if you don't have faith, or you don't believe, or you can't conceive that God is going to do something or will cause something to come to pass for you, then you need to meditate on God's Word. You need to read it, study it, and speak it aloud to yourself. So this is how you put the practical application into work in your life. I'm standing on the prison yard. The Lord shows me that I can change my destiny, that I do not have to stay in that prison for the rest of my natural life. And I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? He said, well, get you some paper and a pencil. So I worked on the inmate maintenance crew. So there was a little office or a little building on the prison compound. And we had lockers in there. So I went in there in this locker and I had some paper, notebook paper. And I got 3 pages of notebook paper. And I got a pencil and I got my little Bible. And then when I got my little Bible and got the little pencil, then I sat down. And he said, write these scriptures down. So I began to write these scriptures down on this piece of paper, just in longhand, you know what I mean? Or Georgia chicken scratching, I'd call it at the time. And you could call it Tennessee chicken scratching, whatever you do. You know, short hand, long hand, or no hand, just somewhere in there. Get the scriptures in a category. And then the Lord said to me, He said, now walk this prison yard and read these scriptures out loud to yourself. Why, I said, Lord, He said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, faith comes from hearing God's Word. He said, you need faith that I will work in your behalf. He said, read these scriptures out loud to yourself. Faith comes from hearing God's word. 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 I want you to wake up tonight saying, faith comes from hearing God's word. It comes from hearing it. You'll get a measure of faith from hearing me talk about God's word, but you're going to get a greater measure of faith when you start saying it for yourself. You know what I mean? So I said, okay. He said, walk the prison yard, read the scriptures out loud to yourself. So I started walking the prison yard. And I could walk down to a corner, and there's gun towers all around with a big high wire fence with razor blades on it and everything. So if you tried to take an early vacation, you get shot off the fence. But I was walking down to one corner, and then I could turn and walk to the other corner. Then the rest of it was off limits. And so I guess that round trip of going from where I was first standing down to the corner, down to the left to the other corner, and then back would have been a little over a quarter of a mile, I guess, in the prison yard, the whole thing, you know, trip. So I'm walking this prison yard, and I'm reading these scriptures out loud to myself over and over, just reading them off the paper. Well, after about an hour, almost an hour of reading the same scriptures over and over, they just got into my memory. I mean, I just memorized them. I folded the notebook paper up, and I put it in my convict shirt pocket, had a front shirt pocket, and I'm still walking there. Every now and then, I'd have to pull it out and say, well, now, what was that? I want to get it just right, you know. So I'd pull the paper back out, make sure I got it right, and then put it back in. And after about an hour of reading them scriptures out loud to myself, just over and over and over, guess what happened? Guess what happened to me? Absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. Nothing. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time. The devil said, yes, you big old dummy. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I'm wasting your time. What are you doing this for? You don't feel nothing. I didn't feel anything. My feet was kind of sore. My tongue was kind of dry. And I wanted a drink of water with my tongue, you know, flapping up and down, saying all them words. But I thought, well, what else have I got to lose? The Lord said, read these scriptures out loud to yourself. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Faith comes from hearing God's word. So undoubtedly, I haven't heard it enough because I don't have any faith. I still don't believe anything. I still can't conceive that I can walk out of this prison. So I went on 2 hours. And it seemed like nothing's happened, but by this time I determined that I'm going to see it through to the end. I'll just keep saying it till I die, go to heaven, or something happens one. And after about 2.5 hours of speaking God's word out loud to myself over and over on that old prison yard, guess what happened to me? Faith came. I said, faith came. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith came. I felt so good. I felt like Superman. I felt like I could leap a tall building with a single bound, outrun a speeding bullet. That would have been good in times past. Yeah, I'd run speeding bullet. Probably stock a locomotive with one hand. And I thought, oh my Lord, I feel so good. Woo! Not that you have to feel good, but when the faith came, the feelings came. I was trying to feel something before the faith came. But when the faith came, I started feeling good because I knew that God was there and His word was true. And I was going to get the old gospel hymn, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. Because I felt like I could just fly. I felt so good. I felt light. All the oppression was gone. All the doubt and unbelief was gone. I'd just driven it out. How? With God's word. And I'm standing there in that prison. I spread my wings, kind of, so to speak, to fly out of there singing that old hymn, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. But I happened to see a guard in a gun tower up there with an automatic carbine or rifle in his hand. And I thought, well, this fella might not know this song. You know what I mean? And if he don't know this song, I'm in a heap of trouble. And the Lord said, son, He said, you're in faith, finally. He said, I told you, faith comes from hearing. He said, you just been floating along waiting for something to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, this will work for you. When? It'll work for you today. It'll work for you now. It'll work for you. I've seen the Lord do this miracle. I'm just telling you one experience, but I can tell you, experience. In fact, just one of our meetings this year in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, in January this year, The Lord had a man walk in because I had been confessing and believing for another airplane. I've owned three, but I was about to get another. We sold our other one into another ministry, but I was going to get another airplane. And a man walked into our meeting in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and handed me the money to go pay cash for an airplane. In fact, we flew this airplane into Knoxville, Tennessee, and it's sitting up there right now at Tyson Airport. But it came the same way. It's not about airplanes. It's about making heaven my home. Material things are not my God. Material things don't dominate me and control me. My Lord and Savior is the one I'm looking to. But anything you need, it'll come to pass for you. So this is not just past tense in my life. And there's some things that I've been working on for years. Some things. But I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. Why? Because I know if I do quit, the devil will win. You know what I mean? If I do quit, the devil will throw in, and I throw in the towel, so to speak, the devil will win. But you cannot fail if you stand on God's Word. If you keep thinking, you keep confessing, thinking God's Word, confessing God's Word, believing God's Word, you're going to come out on top. So I'm standing in that prison yard, and I said to the Lord, Lord, what do I do now? He said, believe right now and declare, based on my word, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, that you believe that you received your parole. I said, while I'm standing here in the prison yard with these prison fences and gun towers all around me, and a letter saying that you'll get out in the month of none, he said, that's exactly right, son. He said, that's what faith is. He said, faith is believing that you have something that has not yet manifested itself in the physical realm that you live in. Does it exist? Yes, in the realm of the spirit. And it will come to pass in the physical world where you are if you'll believe God's word. So standing there on that prison yard, I looked through the fence. And just through the eye of faith, I could see myself outside. Now, I wasn't outside, I was inside. But by faith, I seen myself outside. And I made this declaration. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, I believe that I received my parole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going out of this prison, and I'm going to preach the gospel around the world, casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind in the name of Jesus. No devil, no demon is going to stop me in Jesus' name, and I take authority over you, Satan, and I command you to take your hands off of my life. You're not going to control nor dominate me from this day forward in the name of Jesus Christ. And I started praising God and glorifying God and magnifying God. And I went to the phone booth. I wanted to call Mama, my good Pentecostal Mama, and tell her the good news. Because she got a letter too saying I'd get out in the month of none. And you had to sign up to use the phone. You just couldn't walk in it and use it. And they had a certain time in the evening every day that you could use the phone, but you had to sign up and get on the list, and then they would call you when your time came, and they'd give you a certain amount of minutes, like 7 to 10 minutes or something, according to how many people had signed up, you know. So it come my time to go to the phone. They called my name, you know, they got this speaker intercom. Of course, I'm right there close by waiting anyway, because you don't have to use my time, because when they call you, that's you and your time starts. And so they call my name, you know, and so I hit that phone booth. Can anybody guess and remember who I went in that phone booth as? Have you ever heard of Superman before? I went in that phone booth as Faith Man, not Superman. I went in there with a big F on my shirt, spiritually speaking. I mean, it was a glowing and a shining in the wind, and my cape was a flying backwards, you know. And I went inside of there, and as soon as the operator put me through to my mama, I said, Mama, Mama, Mama. I said, I heard from heaven today. And I said, I've got my parole. I believe that I received it. And I said, everything is all right. Don't worry, Mama. I said, I'm a coming home, Mama. She said, calm down, son. Calm down, son. Oh, son, I don't want to discourage you. She said, but, she said, if it don't happen, sure enough, you'll think God don't love you. And if you think God don't love you, you might backslide. Oh, honey, she said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I said, Mama, I said, I ain't got another basket. May not be good English, but you know what I'm talking about. The only basket I had was Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the only basket you need. If you'll trust in God with all of your heart, I mean trust in Him, He will always come through. day after day, time after time, week after week, month after month, year after year, my wife and I have proved him over and over and over and over again, and he's never failed us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. It looked like at times we was going under 47,000 ways, if that's possible, but he always showed up. Sometimes our faith seemed like it was tested right up to the end, but God always showed up. And I'm here to tell you that same Lord Jesus Christ is alive today, and he's ready to help you. So I said, Mama, I said, I believe I received my parole. But what is that stuff they feed Superman? It knocks, takes his strength from him. What is it? Kryptonite. All right, we got him right here, kryptonite. Everybody agree it was that kryptonite? Well, my mama, the good Pentecostal lady, you know, she loved me and I loved her. But she didn't know. She was feeding faith man kryptonite, doubt and unbelief over the phone line. Because I thought, sure, Mama would agree with me, you know. And then I just remembered somebody else that I like a lot. And his name is Popeye the Sailor Man. I like him, man. Because he's got a statement, you know, Bruno, Bluto, whatever his name is, beats up on poor old Popeye. Then he takes a can of that spinach and he gulps it down. That spinach is a tight and shadow of the Word of God, if anything ever has been. Old Popeye get beat up, you know, and birds flying around his head and knots all over him where old Bruno them beat him up. But he takes a can of that spinach, pops it open, whee, and he gets them muscles a-going, and he hits old Bruno, and bang, he lands over yonder somewhere, and them birds fly around his head, and big knots come on top of him, you know. So I remembered that I had something in my pocket that was more powerful than the spinach that Popeye ever had to eat, and it was the living Word of God. And I took them scriptures out, and I just tuned Mama out over the phone line. They say men are gifted at tuning women out. Lord, help us. But can I take up for us men, if you would permit me for a moment? In the beginning, God made the male species of the human race first, ladies. He made the man first. The mankind is what he made. There's male and female of mankind, according to Genesis. Dr. Chip, he can teach you all this. He knows more about it than I do. But anyway, he created the male species first, of the human race. And everything that God made in the beginning was what? Perfect. So in the beginning, ladies, whether you believe it or not, we was perfect. I'm telling you, we was perfect. I mean, you may not see it now, but we was perfect then. You ought to have seen us in the garden. My God, we was perfect. We was perfect. But then God said, you need a helpmate. And then he took woe man, the female, out of man. And he created woe man, or woman. And we lost our perfection that day. And so if we were still perfect, ladies, you wouldn't be here. So you ought to thank God for us. Yes, somebody said the men operate out of this side of the brain, the woman operates out of that side of the brain. The woman said they ain't got no brain. Just listen here. God is with us. And he's on our side. So I tuned Mama out. And I was reading them scriptures like Popeye was popping that spinach. I was reading that scriptures. Faith came into my heart. And I said, Mama, Mama, Mama. I said, I know. And she had been by the parole board this time. I'm just, for the sake of time, not telling the whole exact story because it takes a long, long time. I said, but she had gone to the parole board on my behalf to see if they would change their decision. They told her, no, it looks like you'll never get out. I said, Mama, I said, I don't care what the parole board said to you and what they told you. I said, I have got my parole in the name of Jesus. And I said, if I do not, I said, the Word of God is not true. My mama started crying. She said, that's heresy. That's heresy. She said, I taught you better than that. You calling God's Word a liar. You said God's... I said, no, Mama, I'm not calling God's Word a liar. I said, the Bible says, let every man be a liar, but God be true. I said, God's Word is true. And that's the scripture in the Bible. Let the man may lie, but God will never lie. And I said, Mother, I said, I have stood on His Word. And I said, I'm walking out of these prison gates. Well, August the 27th, that was in July, the first week of July of 1984, when I had prayed that prayer and I had talked to my mother during that same week. Well, I got a letter saying that they would consider me for release from prison on parole, but it didn't promise me. But on August the 27th, approximately 3 months later, I was standing out in the prison yard in the latter part of August, not the 27th, but the latter part, and Captain Felton Crumpton, who's the captain of the guards, came bursting out of the administration building out in the recreation yard of the prison looking for people. And about 25 yards away from me, I realized he's looking for me. And he's going to tell me I got my parole. So he came, and as I saw him, he never saw me. And I said, Captain, I said, you looking for me? He said, yes. And he come over there hurriedly, you know. He said, you're not going to believe it, son. I said, believe what? He said, we done called up the parole board. He said, to make sure that this is not a mistake. He said, you're not going to believe it, son. I said, believe what, sir? He said, the deputy warden's done checked on it. He said, the warden's checked on it. He said, your counselor up there in social services has checked on it. And I said, well, what is it, Captain? He said, you're not going to believe it, son. I said, sir, they call me a believer. Just give me a shot at it. Just tell me. Let me try to believe it. He said, your parole papers are up there on my desk. And he said, you going home Monday morning. He said, be at my office at 7:45. He said, we'll dress you out and we'll take you out of here at 7:45 a.m. I was there. You can guarantee I wasn't late for that appointment. I was there. They gave me a suit that didn't fit, a shirt that's too big, a pair of shoes like a plow mule in, and I got a $30 check for over 10 years of hard labor, and you complain about your check. And would have got a bus ticket home if my folks hadn't come to get me. You know what I mean? And that's what I got. And I remember all them electronic gates opening and closing, got to the last gate, and I told that gate to open. The captain said, you're out of your mind, but I went through that last gate. Signed them papers, and about 8:10 a.m., I walked through the last door of that prison, and there stood my mother. She stood, you know, she's shorter, a lot shorter than I am, and she jumped up, you know, and flung her arms around my neck, just weeping and crying with tears of joy and gladness, and that seeing me after being in prison for all these years and all the things that I drug our family through and the things I'd done, all the worries and everything, now here I am as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian standing there. And then finally, you know, she gets through sobbing, and I'm going to close with her famous words that day. That morning about 8:10 a.m., maybe by that time, you know, 8:12, 8:13 a.m., she looked up at me. She threw tear-stained eyes. She said, honey, she said, the Bible is true, isn't it? I said, yes, Mama, the Bible is true. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is God's Word. This old ex-convict boy up here will tell you this Bible is true. It's worked for me time after time after time. God's never failed me. You can float along and wait for life to happen, and it will happen. It will take you over the rapids. It may take you into the rocks. It may turn you over going down the river of life. Or you can make a decision. I'm not going to just float along. I'm going to move along in faith, and I'm going to trust God to do miracles for me. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll guarantee you the Lord will come to your aid, and He'll help you in any area of your life. You don't have any problem that's too big for God. You don't have any question that needs to be answered that He cannot answer. If you'll go to Him with childlike faith and say, Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And I need Your help. I do this in my life. I say, Lord, I need Your help. Because He longs to do things for You. He longs to work miracles for you. He wants to do it more than you want Him to do it. But He can't do it through doubt and unbelief, because He cannot violate His Word. We've got to come believing and trusting in Him and saying, Lord, I trust You to do it. And He will. Every single time, without fail. Let's pray.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.